Welcome back to the Paranormal Classroom, where we take attendance for the unexplained. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay, and we're two teacher moms talking about stuff that freaks us out.
Testing, testing, 1, 2.
Syphilis, syphilis.
Plosive, plosive. All right, we are recording for realsies now.
Welcome back, scholars.
Howdy-ho!
It's an Amanda night.
And we're in my bed.
We are.
With a cat.
Kitty cat on us.
And Amanda has cow socks on.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay's been so gracious. She's done the last many stories.
No, just two. And you did two prior to that.
I don't think so. I think you feel like you did three.
I wouldn't. How obnoxious for me to put three in a row.
Well, I wasn't ready. So. It's great.
I don't know.
I appreciate it.
I'm going to fact check on aisle 5 on that one.
But it's my night tonight. I don't have a hook. I don't have a hook.
That's okay.
But I am excited. I have been like super distracted and busy, and I feel like I haven't been listening to my podcast.
Same.
I've been kind of just not engaged, and tonight I feel a little re-engaged.
Good.
I'm excited.
Good. I was getting worried about you not looking into the ookie spooky like you routinely used to do. So I'm looking back at my notes from last week when we were going to record, and I had something that was haunting me. Oh, yes. I remember. Okay. But I guess. Is that where you want to start?
No, go ahead. What's haunting you this week?
So what's haunting me this week, well, not haunting me bad, but I did start my new job as city council person, and that's pretty intense. But prior to that, my family went to San Juan Island for a few days with my dad and stepmom, and we went to the Whale Museum. Have you ever been to the Whale Museum?
Uh-uh.
It's awesome. It's in Friday Harbor. And supposedly, it's the most haunted building in the San Juan Islands. So that's cool. I didn't have anything paranormal there happen. But at the Whale Museum, they showed this movie, and it's called Sonic Sea. So S-O-N-I-C space S-E-A. And, like, Sting is in it, actually, at one point, because he's a big fan of whales, I guess, and also understands a lot about sound and, like, sonic science. And it's haunting me because I love whales. I love water. And I learned some pretty horrific facts about what's going on in our oceans due to the shipping industry and the search for oil and gas underground. And it is devastating. So, like, if you get a chance, check out Sonic Sea. I thought I knew it was bad. It is way worse than I could have ever imagined. And it's haunting me because then I feel like guilty every time I get in a car that uses gas.
Yeah.
And I feel guilty. You know, I will never go on a cruise again because of this. I will never. And it's not like they're the leaking of the. It's the sound. That's why it's called Sonic Sea.
Aww.
The sound created by all of these ships all over. It completely drowns out anything else. It would make any human being insane within minutes, or at least crippling headaches within seconds and minutes. And they can't find each other. They can't they can't hear each other's song. So then juvenile whales are getting separated. Fish just completely disappear from places. So it's not overfishing that has affected the fishing industry. It is this nonsense.
It's the noise, the vibration.
It's the noise. Aww, so check out Sonic Sea. Maybe just read a summary of it or something. Fantastic documentary. Wild, wild knowledge. I thought I knew more than I did. And so now I'm like, oh, totally bummed me out. But all we can do is what we can do. It's one of those massive problems where I feel like, where do we even begin? How do we solve it?
I know,
what do
and
we
one
do?
Person doing something different is not.
No, so we just have to educate. That's what I usually do, is just try to educate others or point people in the right direction to learn more and make decisions for themselves. But I'm supposed to get a new car soon, and I'm like rethinking all of that, and I don't know. So that's haunting me, and probably will forever. But I am stoked to hang out with Amanda. We've been so busy, and now the holidays are over. New Year's over. Happy 2026, everybody.
Yeah.
Any New Year's resolutions? Anybody got any plans to go find a spooky place and investigate it for the first time?
Yeah, message us. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we got to make a list of our own.
I could not go to that museum. And I love that you love sea life. And that's an important message that you learned. But I'm truly terrified of whales.
Oh, I don't want to go anywhere near them.
But even just the sound that they make is
really
nightmare fuel for me. Yeah.
You're kidding.
No. I can't with the whales.
Whale song, really?
Yeah.
Wonder what that's about.
I don't know. I think it's really scary to listen to.
So there's some frequency piece of that maybe for you that
maybe
that triggers something. That's interesting. Because most people, like, what is it, Enya and the Whales or whatever, like, people fall asleep to it.
Right? I could not. I would have, I could not.
Well, obviously, no. That's, oh my gosh, I've never met anybody who's afraid of whale song.
Well, now you know somebody.
I love that. I mean, I hate that for you, but it's also fascinating.
We're going to get to my story really soon, but we always start with, like, a what's haunting you
segment. Yeah, what's haunting you?
It's haunting me. My daughter told me this story today.
Oh, no.
She was at school with her friend, and a stranger approached her. And this, she's in high school, so a high school student approached her that they didn't know, grabs her friend's hand, puts this necklace, this, like, antique necklace in her friend's hand, and says, "This is yours now. You have to take it." And then, like, ran away.
This is some Heather's bullshit. What the heck?
I said this is the start of a horror movie.
Yeah.
So they have this necklace, and it's really pretty. It's heart-shaped, antique looking. It looks like it has, like, a rose quartz in the middle. But something about the necklace and the way that this person just dropped it off gave them the heebie-jeebies. They started getting headaches and having a stomach ache, and it could all be psychosomatic, but... now these girls, these teenagers are like, well, we have to deal with, we've just been cursed is what they feel like. They're like, we've been cursed.
No.
So they put the necklace in, like, a bag of rosemary, like, lavender. And
I try not to spit out my margarita.
They're like on Witch Talk looking at, oh, like, great. What do you do when someone gives you a curse?
They weren't necklace? Witches yesterday, but they will be tomorrow.
I just think it's funny.
That's amazing. I hope it's a prank. I hope that's the greatest prank you could do to a teenage girl right before Valentine's Day.
Oh my gosh.
And, like, how fantastic is that? And if nothing else, he has some serious, like, screenplay.
Delete.
Oh, yeah. Delete
also,
the
it's
name.
It's my other daughter. It's the other
girl. Oh, that's even worse. Not that child.
Yeah. The sensitive one.
No. Yeah. Well, that child could write an incredible story about this, nonfiction or fictional tale about this.
Yes, she
that's
could.
That's, I think, how I would help her with it. It's like, oh my gosh, just think what kind of story you could spin, or D&D adventure you could turn
this
into.
Oh, yeah, she would love that. The confidence in her, though, she's like, I'm going to get it. I'm going to break the curse, and I'm going to have this great necklace I just got for free. You go,
just
girl.
Sage it. Salt and burn.
Okay, ready for my story?
That's amazing. Yes.
Have you heard of the alien mummies that they supposedly found in Peru?
Yes, but I don't know a lot of details. Here's what I picture immediately jumps to mind. It's like them, like, laid out, and they were really short.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like they were really tiny, like small aliens.
Yeah.
But, and this wasn't very long ago, just a few years ago.
It's very recent.
Okay, get it going. Get a crack-a-lackin'.
Are you picturing in your head the ones that are stretched out straight or the ones that are curled up?
Curled up.
Okay, because I'm going to go into detail about the difference between those two.
Okay.
If you have,
I think they were either curled up or they were just short in stature.
It's both.
Or both.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Okay, yes. Give it to me.
Okay, so we're going to Peru. And if you need to picture Peru like I do, South America.
Cue the pan flute.
Yeah. You're gonna put fan flute music.
I totally am.
Okay, so the South America. You can picture South America. It's the left side, kind of near the top along the equator. That's where Peru is. You already know this, right? She knows a lot about South
Central
America.
And South America.
Yeah, they were found near Nazca, the Inca Nazca Desert.
And that's where the Nazca lines are.
The Nazca lines are. So I was telling Lindsay as I go through the story. There's so many doorways that we can go and explore.
God, that's awesome.
So the Nazca lines, just really briefly, if you don't know, are these, what do you call them? They're like shapes that have been put in the ground. Pictograms?
Glyphs? Pictographs. That sounds like a Harry Potter creature. It, like, big carvings, either in the side of a mountain, rocky mountainside, or... Yeah, they're carved into things at this point. The Nazca lines are, like, big, giant... But they look kind of like hieroglyphs. They're not like realistic looking bird or realistic looking shapes. It's lines and basic shapes that form an overall vibe of a bird or a vibe of this or that.
And what's amazing is You cannot see the shapes that were carved into the ground from even the highest peak. The only
Right.
way to see the shapes is to be up in the air,
In an
in an
airplane, which
airplane.
obviously humans didn't have aircraft at this time
Yeah,
that we know of.
they're fascinating. So this part of the world that we're going to is like filled with already with mystery and ancient history and stories and mythology, and like it's very cool.
Yeah,
Very cool part of the
super
world.
cool.
Yeah. It's arid, it's full of caves. There's tons of archaeological treasures there.
I want to go. I
Yeah,
have
I
friends
can
who
picture you
went.
going.
I have friends who went to Machu Picchu this last summer.
It's Machu Picchu in Peru?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it's
Yes.
got so much.
And the movie that, Emperor's Last Groove,
I love that movie.
that's in
Love
Peru.
that movie.
And the name Cusco, that's the capital of Peru.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they went and they did, they climbed, like they did the actual like hike to Machu Picchu. Now you can just take a bus, but they didn't want to be wussy. That's Colleen. You've met our friend Colleen, from Knitters,
Yeah,
the Knitters
she's
that,
very cool.
yeah.
She's
And she and
famous.
her husband did it, yeah, just this last summer.
Neat. Okay, so in this area, there's obviously all these grave sites from the indigenous cultures in the Americas and the pre-Columbian. And the way that they would, the pre-Columbian burial sites, they had, most of them have this like tendency to kind of wrap, they would like curl up the bodies. Like imagine sitting in like a fetal
Oh, okay.
position, kind of.
I think that's fairly common, isn't it? With, not fairly common, maybe is wrong, but it's not unheard of in cultures around the world where they sometimes they'll find, like I think of the bog bodies where
Yeah.
they found them, like they'll often be tied up, bound up in a fetal position.
Yeah.
I think there's been others in Asia too where they've found them all like
Yeah.
scrunched up,
Yeah, scrunched
fetal
up.
position.
Yeah, when it was common in that area. And so a lot of the burial sites have bodies that are curled up like that. And in some cases they find mummies, like depending on the
Okay.
on whatever they were buried in the I don't know a lot about how mummies are made. I really, sorry.
No,
You got
that's
to research
okay.
that on your own.
That's
But
okay. Well, sometimes things can be kind of, they appear like mummified based on
yeah.
what sort of soil they're in or what the climate is like and the air and the humidity and all of that. The mummification, intentional mummification process is best tied to Egypt, where there's, you remove the vital organs and you store each of them in its own sacred jar. And then you, of course, drain the body of fluid and you dry it out with whatever it's salt or whatever it might be, wrap it in all of this kind of cloth, and then just like a stereotypical kind of mummy, horror movie mummy, wrap it up, put it in a sarcophagus, sometimes multiple sarcophagi.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a really like detailed process, but sometimes bodies will just appear to be mummified because of the climate and the geography they're
Thank
buried
you. Those
in.
are the words. Yeah. And they also would bury them with really cool pieces of art. So like textiles and tools and like just artwork, like all kinds of things that were in there to
Like the
support the afterlife.
Egyptians.
Similar to the Egyptians and
Okay.
probably lots of indigenous
I mean, I
cultures.
guess we do too. Like, have you thought about how you want to be buried?
Not, I mean, no, not really. I don't really
As of
care.
right now, our plan is to be cremated just because I don't want to add to the pollution in the ground. And it's so expensive to have a casket burial
Right.
anyway. But I really love the idea. I'll be honest. The older I get, the more the idea of death scares me.
Ditto.
And it shouldn't. I don't think it should because I just don't think it should. Whether there's an afterlife or not, I guess it just is what it is. And I have learned a lot about death recently, which is a conversation for another time probably, about what the body and the brain goes through when death is approaching, if you die of like a disease or natural causes. Obviously, if it's sudden, then it's over. Like there's nothing, no process to that. Unfortunately, but in most cases, like the body goes through this incredible process that it knows it's going to die, and it like kicks in different in hormones and endorphins and things to just make it more comfortable for a lot of people. And then medicine, science can help too with morphine or whatever. But I love the idea of like compost burial or something like that, where you just return to the earth, a natural mm-hmm. burial. They kind of wrap you in this beautiful, like, white muslin. Nobody can see you. Like, there's no creepy body to look mm-hmm. at. And then you just get, like, covered in flowers and all your favorite, you know, organic material or whatever. And then you go into this pod, and then you just decompose naturally and you go back into the earth. Ashes to ashes, like, and dust tree. To dust. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to be pumped full of formaldehyde. I know that
no,
much.
I don't want to be, like, prepared for people to view me.
I definitely don't want a viewing. I want people to remember me when I was, like, alive.
I also don't want to think about it at all because it really, I get,
I know it's
so
hard.
Scared. Yeah.
It's hard. But the reality is we probably should be prepared because you never know. Like, I know my husband and I have plans, like, our kids are old enough now, really. Mm-hmm. But if something were to happen to both of us, what would happen with our kids? You know, those conversations and stuff. But nobody, American culture is pretty weird about death. And we don't like to talk about it. Even when I know a lot of older people who really should be planning so that they don't leave that mess to their loved ones. But they're not.
I'm thinking of our episode on the corpse walkers, the Chinese corpse walkers.
Right.
That was a weird...
We're not going to do that.
Weird.
Let's just put that on record. We don't want to be corpse walked across the world to get back to our place of birth. I'm not interested in being corpse walked back to Olympia.
Don't walk me to Seattle. Okay, so as you can imagine, these burial sites with all these treasures inside were ripe for grave robbers.
Mm-hmm.
Grave robbers. And, also, this area is known for UFO sightings. Lots of them.
Oh, by the way.
By the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't that one of the theory of Nazca Lines, right? Is that they were used to kind of direct, perhaps alien visitors.
Yeah. Recently, there was a sighting in a remote village. This was in 2023. And a bunch of the villagers witnessed this humanoid thing moving through the air. And the government investigated whatever they're doing to investigate. And their official statement is that they were likely gold miners, illegal gold miners that were riding around on jetpacks.
Oh, my gosh.
Which in itself is a fascinating story.
Yeah, like let's get to the bottom of that.
I know. I want to learn about those people.
You know what, folks? Don't worry. It's not aliens. It's just illegal gold miners with jetpacks. That sounds like some props you'd give at an improv comedy show.
Absolutely. Where would you go if you had a jetpack?
Oh, gosh. To your house first, because I'd be like, check Discover. This out.
Hey, Mandinator.
Manda, woo! Just outside your window on the second floor, so you'd look out and see me and freak out. I don't think you can get far on a jetpack. I mean, we're not like Iron Man. Like,
I don't know much about it.
The technology right now, unless there's some things, which there are obviously things I don't know. But the things I've seen of jetpacks, they're not super impressive yet.
I don't know. My uncle wants to buy this, like, personal, it's a drone, basically, but it fits a human. Just one human, and it can fly for like 40 miles or something like that. Not super far, but far enough to just be like
commute.
Just commute. Just be like, I'm
gonna
fly.
That's genius. Why don't we have that already?
Well, like they have it already.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get a license, and I don't know how much it costs. I'm sure it's ridiculous because most people don't have them.
Well, we don't have the infrastructure for
Right.
Can you imagine you're driving down the freeway on your normal commute, like a normal human, and then all of a sudden this drone drops out of the sky? We don't have plans for FFA
no.
FAA for that?
Well, you wouldn't be up very high. I'm assuming like if people have these personal drones, they're just going to be like 20 feet up in the air and we'll just see people flying.
That's
all the
wild.
Time. It's wild to me too. I love it. Okay, so grave robbers, they're called local huaqueros. Did you know that word? Am I
Can
saying
I
it right?
See it?
Huaqueros.
Yeah, you are saying it beautifully, but local huaquero. So a huaquero is a grave robber,
mm-hmm.
and they're people who live locally. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and they will go, obviously, like, break into the graves, take the treasures, and then
sell them on the black market or whatever.
Which it's a whole... I would... If it wasn't illegal and very, very disrespectful, that sounds like a cool gig.
Very Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess the legal way to do that is just like be an archaeologist.
Yes. Yeah.
Where it goes into a museum. But then that's a whole other ball of wax. Like, should it go to a museum? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't it stay? I would argue it should stay either right. where it is or at least in the country with the people who yeah. are tied directly to that culture and history.
Yeah.
I was shocked to go to the British Museum this summer in England, in London. And I knew that colonialism was a problem, to put it mildly. I had no idea just how much the British stole from like Egypt and Greece. I'm not kidding you. It was room upon room upon room, massive museum rooms full of artifacts from ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, ancient parts, other parts of Africa, ancient parts of Asia. Like, what in the heck?
Yeah, what gives them the right to be like, I found it.
It's mine.
We had this neighbor kid, my brother's friend, when he was like 10 years old. This neighbor kid, Brian, if you're listening, Brian, I will never forget this. He comes into our house and he finds a bunch of change in one of our junk drawers. And he's like showing it off to my dad. He's like, look, Mr. Geyer, I found all this money. And my dad's like, Brian, you found it in our drawer.
Brian is a criminal. Brian, if you're listening, you're probably listening from jail. My God.
I know.
The nerve. I would feel guilty about using toilet paper in the bathroom of a friend's house and feel like I needed to replace it. This kid's up in your drawers,
yeah, he's
first of
digging
all, and
drawers,
taking change.
Whatever he finds, he's like, look, I found it. Like, he's treasure hunting.
Okay, Brian.
Well, that's grave robbing, isn't it?
Yeah, Brian's well on his way. Yeah, finders keepers is like their motto. And that's just stupid. That's so disrespectful.
Okay, so there's this grave robber. His name is Leandro. And that might not be his real name. I'm assuming that grave robber
is his alias.
And he supposedly found these mummies. Actually, he found what he says. He found 200 like specimens. They were either full mummies or like pieces of body parts and stuff.
Okay.
Leandro finds them in 2015. This is pretty recent.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Leandro couldn't sell them or knew they were weird and was hanging on to them. But it took him a whole year before he showed them to this man named, and I don't know how to pronounce his name because it's French, I think. But his name is Terry Hameen.
You did it.
And he was the president of the Inkari Institute, which is a private research institute in Peru.
About the Inca.
Yeah.
History of the Inca.
Yeah, but it's private. It's not a publicly funded one.
Okay.
So it's private. And that's who he gave them. He basically gave the mummies to this guy at the Institute, the Inkari Institute. Because he's like...
I guess that's... Of all the places to give them to, I guess that's a
Yeah, I don't know place. If he... I guess he probably tried to sell them. I don't really know. If you're a grave robber, I don't know why you would just give something away.
Isn't it wild that there are markets for that kind of thing?
Yes.
Like there's all these people out there who are like, if you find an ancient mummy, hit me up.
I don't even know, like, who would your sources be? Where would you go?
I think if you're out grave robbing, you've got connections already. Like, I don't know if you were, as an amateur, you would just walk out and go, you know what I'm going to do today?
Yeah.
Rob some graves, and then I'm going to figure it out later. I think you probably have to get involved and make sure you have a source before.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a source that wants it. That person finds somebody who's willing to grave rob for them.
Oh, okay.
And then it becomes like a cyclical
kind of
thing. Oh, gosh.
What if the Inkari Institute is funding grave robbers?
I would not be surprised.
Don't print it. I didn't say it. I'm just...
Yeah.
Guessing.
But who knows?
Who knows?
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that an organization was doing illegal things.
Yeah.
I
also have questions about...
unethical things.
This makes me think about the dark web. You know how you hear about, like, the dark web? Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. Is it, like, a separate... Is this a separate cloud?
I know.
I don't understand what it is.
Dude, I don't either. And I worry that... I don't want to get involved.
I don't want to go there.
But I'm also fascinated.
Me too.
But the web, as I know it, is already pretty effing dark.
It's true.
So what's happening on the dark web?
How do you get there? Do you need a special invite? Who's in charge?
Is it a secret knock? Is it a password?
Yeah.
I don't know.
don't know anything about it, but it,
I don't want to go though. We got too many stuff on this side of things to do.
I'm too busy driving my daughter to
don't,
dance.
Yeah, don't get deal me with the dark sucked web. Into the dark web.
Okay, so Terry Hameen, this is like a non-government research organization. They focus on archaeology, exploration, indigenous myths. So they're
cool.
They sound pretty cool, but they are not. It's important to know that like they're not funded by the government. They're not considered as reputable or reputable as a lot of other
okay.
sources.
And okay, that's, fair.
Right, because like you sure. know, most people in the world don't believe that these are aliens.
Right.
I think that this is all a hoax. It may be all a hoax.
Right.
But we're going right. to go into some weird stuff. Okay, so these mummies, there's three mummies that are intact that are absolutely fascinating. They're so interesting that we're going to go into it. So this institute had the remains, the mummies, they were researching them, and we'll go into that in detail. But the next year, 2017, I think, is when a Mexican journalist named Jamie Mousen got involved. This guy, Jamie Mousen, he's a journalist who's known for UFO and paranormal claims. It's his jam. And so somehow he got connected and brought into this like study of these three okay. mummies. He's the first person, the journalist, who really started putting it out into the media. So when we started to see
yeah,
videos,
I remember that. Like that.
That's this guy.
Okay.
He's not considered credible by the scientific community.
That sucks.
Because he has a long, I know, he has a long history of promoting like, sensational and
paranormal. Oh, well, that'll do it to you every time.
But I get it because he's really into it like I am. I mean, I get the passion. And
oh,
the
I wouldn't be taken seriously by the media at this point either.
I know, yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe in certain circles or certain topics I might be taken seriously. But if, I don't know, I think you can be, and I think you and I prove it. You can be both a science-minded person and be open-minded to the unexplained.
Yeah.
But I also know that media is not always on board for that concept of being both, splitting worlds, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I just consider it being open-minded. Like, sure, you prove it to me scientifically, I'm on board for that. Something else happens and it's possible, I'm on board for yes. that until you prove otherwise. Right. Like, it's just more fun to believe in the mysterious and not believe in it, but to wonder about it, to study it, to ask questions about it, to be curious. Because there's so much on this planet that we don't understand.
On this planet and other planets.
And other
there's
planets.
Billions of other planets. Yeah. Right? So, yeah.
I think you just have to stay open-minded your whole life, long, because it's more interesting, it's more fun, and it's easier. It's mm-hmm. easier to remain open-minded
yeah.
than it is to just go, nope, 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 that can't possibly be because that's outside of what I already understand.
Yeah.
That would be exhausting.
I know. Well, I'm going to describe these mummies to you and I'm going to send you some pictures. But so everybody put on your little like imagination hat
okay.
and get ready to envision this with me. First, envision a human skeleton. Like, because we're going to start
okay.
there. We're going to start
okay.
with a human skeleton.
Got it.
Curled up in the fetal position.
Okay.
But small, like a proportion human body, but small, like 2 feet tall. Can you picture it in your mind?
2 feet?
About 2 feet.
So proportionate to a human, but 2 feet tall. So like a toddler. Like
yeah. Or a hobbit, I guess.
A hobbit's not super proportionate, aren't they?
I don't know.
Their feet are really big and their hands are really yeah. big, I think. Also, they're fictitious, but... Okay,
so small humanoid bodies, they're called tridactyl because they have three fingers
Stop it.
And three toes.
That's weird.
It is weird. We don't really have, I'm going to go into like some of the common.
Sloths?
Yeah, sloths I guess have three toes, but like a humanoid, we don't, there's some genetic mutations, but none
sure.
that we know of like this. Three fingers, it's like the three, like if you got rid of your thumb and your pinky, it would be like the three mm-hmm. in the middle. They're also really elongated, kind of like Jack Skellington from The Night
what?
Before Christmas. The toes and the...
Are you the ready? Toes?
Yes, do you want me, yes. do you want me
send
to send
me a
start
picture.
Pictures?
Now, fingers, I can understand why they would, you know, perhaps evolve to be that long or whatever, but who needs toes that long?
I don't know.
What purpose is that serving biologically?
I don't know. But you gotta check these out.
In other news, I refilled my bird feeder this week.
Yeah.
And I sent my family, usually it's one bird at a time comes to my bird feeder. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's two. It's never been more than two.
Yeah.
Check out what happened today. It was a full on bird party. Birdie fiesta.
Oh my gosh.
Look it up. Look at this.
That's like 10 birds on one
There's
bird
seven
feeder.
Of them at least. One, two, three, four, five, seven. And they're like, hey.
That's adorable.
Isn't that so cute?
Yeah.
They're adorable. All just climbing over each other. It's so cute.
Where do you put out like a steak lobster for them?
I've never had that many. It's amazing.
All right. Look at the picture I just sent you.
Okay. Let me go to my texts.
Yeah. It's scary to look at.
So there's a man's hand. It looks like a man. It could be a woman. A person's hand, a human's hand next to what looks like a plaster cast of these things. Mm-hmm. Is that real? That's real?
This is a photo of it.
Real cast?
I mean, as real as like you're going to believe by the time of the, sure, sure, the sure. end of the story. But they could be real.
What?
Okay.
They look like bat talons yeah. or something. Like really big ones.
They also had elongated skulls, and I'm going to send you photos.
I do remember that, I think, but this is still looking different than what I even remember.
So elongated skulls, there's like a binding tradition that some tribes and humans really do, where like when a baby's born, they would put the baby in a contraption with like pieces of wood, boards,
mm-hmm.
and tie it up. And then as the baby's skull is forming, because they're not fully formed when they're first born, they can mold it into this like elongated skull. And it's supposedly it would represent the gods. And there's like a bunch of theories around that. Well, what are the gods? Are the gods the aliens that were coming down and were trying to like emulate how they look? Yeah.
Interesting. And then that makes me think of the Alien franchise that my daughter is obsessed with, the Sigourney Weaver, you know, Alien. And the Queen Alien has that really long elongated head.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I know. So that's what's different. Here's some other things that are different. The organs, muscles, tissues, all intact. Because they went into some scanning and stuff, so we'll get into that in a bit, but inside the mummy, where you can't see, you can only see with imaging, organs, muscles, all of it, phalanges. I don't even know what all's in our body, but it's all in there.
Phalanges are your fingers and toes. What's the
stuff with, like, just connective tissue and stuff.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
And did they have organs that lined up with, like, our organs?
It's like, very human-like. Very
interesting.
Human-like. Yeah. No ears.
Ooh.
They look like they have little holes for ears. They didn't have ears like we have.
No cartilage on the outside.
Yeah. And then they had large slanted eyes, that similar shape to like
that almond shaped alien
eye. Yeah, like from what's the third kind? Encounters of the Third Kind movie, mm-hmm. kind of like that.
Close Encounters.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah. This was fascinating. You know how our jawbone is actually not connected to the rest of the skull, and it's connected with muscle
floats,
and stuff?
Yeah.
It floats. This jawbone was connected, which means it didn't move on a hinge like ours does, which means they were not able to speak the same way that we can.
Or eat.
I don't know, but I mean, a lot of stories of aliens are that they're telepathic.
Oh, shit.
And then their mouths don't move the same way, so... That's weird.
Dang.
Yeah. Some of the ribs were just like human ribs, but some of them went all the way around, like a 360 degree.
Like a hula hoop of rib?
Mm-hmm.
What?
And these are bones because they scan them and they're just like human bones. I know, Linz. It's crazy. And here's the last thing.
Why aren't we hearing more about this? I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed that this has been covered up.
Yeah.
So much. I mean, I get it. We have bigger fish to fry, perhaps, in this country right now.
Yeah.
But when this first came out, why not put it on blast?
I think a lot of people think it's hoaxed, and it could be hoaxed, but we'll go into, like, how you would hoax something like this.
Yeah. And why?
And why? The last little piece I pulled out interesting is the fingerprints. So if you look at your fingerprints, you know how ours are like swirly kind of? Mm-hmm. Their fingerprints are more straight. Hmm. So a different pattern on the fingers.
So if it's a hoax, they went so far as to create fingerprints.
I mean, the detail is crazy.
That seems like a reach.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past humans. Humans are very smart. Humans are going to go to the umpteenth detail for accuracy and to really hoax people in this day and age. You'd have to go to that super detailed degree. But weird choice to make them straight.
Yeah.
Seems like if you were going to hoax it, you would make him more in the whorl. They call it whorls, whorls, and swoops and swirls and spirals of a human fingerprint.
Right.
Interesting.
It is interesting. The mummies have names. They named them. And what's interesting is the names.
Paco Blanca.
Is that what you would name your mummy?
That's what I name my birds. Paco and Blanca and Jose and Jefe.
Paco Blanca, Jose and Jefe.
That's what I would have named them.
Well, if you were presenting these, you could name them because apparently the names change depending on who's presenting them.
Oh, come on!
Which is another reason that...
That's rude.
It's rude, and it's another reason that people don't find it as reputable because if a true archaeologist is going to log it...
And they usually call it like the so-and-so man or the so-and-so woman... Based on where they found it and like when they found it. And maybe even sometimes it attaches the archaeologist of findings name, like whoever found it may be attached.
Right.
But usually it's just the like Cronenberg man or whatever. I just made that up. Yeah. But whatever it might be, the location and the perceived, the what seems to be the sex or gender.
Yeah.
So sex, I guess.
If these mummies had ended up in like a true... reputable museum or something, they would have been like logged, named. That would be it. It would be like,
yeah, the Nazca,
yeah,
Nazca Man 1, Nazca Man 2, whatever.
Yeah. So their name, I love their names. The largest one is named Montserrat.
Okay.
That I had a student named Montserrat.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did, and I love the name.
Do you know we have a student named Oprah?
No.
We have an Oprah this year. We have an Oprah.
Do you
want to
go through some of the cool names we have of kids right now?
Kids' names are incredible. Oprah, Possible.
I love that name. I love that girl,
What's
too.
Another fun one? Let's see. King.
Uh-huh.
My King was another one.
I loved that name because when you would talk to him, you know, he'd be like, oh, my King, can you, you're doing a great job with your handwriting or whatever.
It's
like,
also, it's so... it could be borderline obnoxious, but also
I
really
liked
cool.
It. I thought it was cool.
Depending on how the personality of that kid, I guess. And we have Knowledge.
Luckily, he was a pretty good kid. Because I think if you were, like, upset with him, it wouldn't sound as nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Knowledge.
Love it.
Rainbow.
Love it.
Adore Me.
Oh.
That's all one family, by the way.
Oh, great.
And then Justice, of course. That's a cool one. We have two Justices. Maeva. A lot of random apostrophes, seemingly random apostrophes,
and
a lot
spellings.
Of my something, my this, my that, my this. I think it's cool. I think it's fun, and I don't mind it one bit.
Nope. And so I love this name, Montserrat. I hope I'm saying it right.
Yeah, you are.
And then the other two were, they've most usually called Josefina and Maria. But again, the names change depending on
who. What made them assign a sort of a gendered name to them? Do you know?
Well, one of them they know for sure is female because of some scanning results that I have, but I don't know about that.
So they have similar anatomical features to humans?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
They're all similar to humans except for those things that I listed.
Hmm. So they have the same genitalia?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
That's really wild.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to go into some of the scientific testing and examinations that have been done. And a lot of this has been done by that institute, the private institute, which is why a lot of people don't take them
as
seriously.
It. Okay.
But the institute claims that, or they have records that they've sent some of the scans that they've done or DNA samples and tissue samples to actual real, like, colleges and scientific institutions and government-run stuff. Without telling them what they're from. And then the results they get back from those, they have published in their documents.
Okay, so they're trying to do a blind
A
study.
blind study. So they're
That's
running all the
reputable. Yeah,
studies.
that's cool.
They're running all the studies, but they're really judged harshly for not always like following peer-reviewed kind of protocols.
Okay.
So I can see why there's a debate. I can
Sure,
see,
absolutely.
yeah. Okay, so they've done x-rays, they've done CT scans, MRIs, tissue samples, DNA tests. The DNA tests are interesting. The results that came back, they sent them to different places and they would get different results back. But there's reports that,
Really, they get difference in reporting.
Some
That's
of the
weird.
reports show 100% match to human DNA, and some of the reports have as much as 30% of the DNA unknown species, unknown DNA.
What?
Yeah.
Have you ever done a DNA test?
No, have you?
Yes.
My brother has done one of the ones where like you find out where you're from.
Yeah, same. I think mine was done through ancestry.com.
Yeah, and I didn't do it because I figured mine would be just
I
like
think it was
his.
23andMe, but it ended up coming through ancestry.com, which that's a whole other interesting podcast, maybe about how that all started with the Mormon Church and things. But yeah, I've done it, and I'd been raised to think that a lot of my culture or ethnic background was Irish. And it was actually, I'm like 38 or 39% Scottish, but which I love because I'm obsessed. I've always been obsessed and fascinated by Scotland. So has my daughter. We went to Scotland this summer. It totally felt like home. But at that time, what is now Scotland also had a lot of English and Irish because of like wars and different things going on. So it wasn't necessarily wrong that my mother's family thought they were Irish, but geographically, we were Scottish, but I also have 2% West African.
That's wild.
Yes, and also makes me kind of sad because I'm sure that means somewhere in my family's history we were, slave traders, traders of enslaved people, or something to that effect. But on Ancestry.com, I have a cousin who reached out who is very African American, which I love, and he said, "We're cousins," and I'm like, "What?" And his third, three times great grandmother is his relation that he could trace back to that point. And at some point, she got pregnant with a white neighbor boy's child. Like they were of the same, approximately the same age. And that child got sold separately from her, because, of course, in slavery, you get sold separately from your child a lot, which was horrible to be sold, period, but definitely separated from your child. And the child went on to be my relative. That daughter went on to be my relative, and he has connections to the grandmother, great 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 grandmother, and I have connections to that daughter, and we're trying to piece it together of like what happened.
That is so
Not
cool.
neat.
Yeah.
So
Neat, neat, neat.
do it. Do
I should do
your
my, yeah.
genetic DNA. It's
I
pretty
should.
cool.
They also did radiocarbon dating,
Oh, cool.
and they know for sure that this mummy is about 1500 years old.
Whoa. That's old.
It's old.
Egyptian pyramids, when they first discovered those, it was like 300 years old. Whoa.
Here's where it gets crazy. Here's where it gets crazy. Montserrat, the largest of the mummies, when they did the CT scan, they claim, I mean, they have the scans, but they found a little baby, a fetus inside. So she was pregnant.
Oh,
But
no.
here's what's cool. The fetus also had the elongated skull, which rules out
That it was
that they
done
did
to
that was
them.
done to them, that whatever this is
Whoa.
was born with the elongated skull.
Or was going to be born with.
I
Interesting.
know.
That's cool. Well, I know in a lot of indigenous cultures in this country, in the United States, that head binding between two boards was common in some of our indigenous cultures. So, what is that
I don't know. I don't
about?
know.
So interesting. But there's also like Chinese foot binding, where they believe like the tinier the
Yep.
foot, the more attractive a person
I think it's
was.
like mutilation, though.
Oh, it
Like,
is.
it's awful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if binding your head, it really does anything damaging to the brain. I don't know
I don't
if it
think
does.
so. I think it just, but it's not natural.
Yeah. Maybe it messes with your neck muscles.
So oh, it has of it to. Yeah. Really,
yeah.
It wouldn't be as balanced.
I'm going to whip through a couple things if that's okay, because my computer's about to die. But we can come back to anything. So the creatures, whatever these are, that are small and have three fingers, they find artwork and statues and stuff like that all over the world. That blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like Japan, Africa, like that commonality. And maybe it's, maybe making three fingers on a on your artwork is just something people do to like save time.
It's not.
Time or
I promise it's I don't not know. Because I teach young children. Uh-huh. And when people draw, they draw similarly to themselves.
Even they even know their digits and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to send you some pictures of the artwork in a little bit. They also, we know for sure that there are genetic differences in humans, such as really small humans. There's a group in Indonesia called Homo floresiensis. I'm not saying
that
right.
Oh, good job.
It's a real species that they found that was really small. They call them the hobbit species. They're real small, but they had full hands.
Oh, they had five.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. We also know that there are plenty of genetic mutations that we know about for fingers and toes.
Of course.
Like Anne Boleyn had 11 fingers. Some people have fused fingers like the lobster man.
Oh, yeah.
This is the coolest, though. I'm going to send you a picture. There's a group in Africa, in Zimbabwe. No, they're the Vadoma peoples, and they're an isolated tribe. And they have a genetic mutation where their feet, they're called ectrodactyl toes, which means that the middle three toes are missing and they only have the two outer toes. They call them the ostrich people because their feet look like ostrich feet. And since they're a small tribe and they're isolated, you know, just through like breeding, it's a dominant trait. And so that means that it can be passed down even if just one of the people has the gene.
Whoa.
So a lot of them have ostrich feet. You ready to see it?
Mm-hmm. Hard to buy shoes, I would imagine.
Yeah. Okay, sorry I whipped through all that. But I sent pictures. Those are crazy.
Okay. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's not real.
Yes, it's real. It's real. It's real.
That doesn't look real. That's so weird.
Yeah.
What? Amazing.
Yeah.
And that it's all over the world, like the elongated skulls, Egypt, Syria, Mexico, Peru, Ghana, and another one from Mexico.
Yeah. I'm going to send you some artwork. A lot of it's from Peru, but it's from other places also. I just grabbed a collection. So you can see some of the artwork that's out there with three-fingered creatures, elongated skulls, slanted eyes.
That it?
Well, I think we should talk about hoaxing it.
Okay.
If it was hoaxed, how do you think they pulled it off?
I guess you could make, you could take parts of humans. You could grave rob humans.
Grave rob, because they'd have to be 1,500 years old.
Yeah. And then take the bits and pieces he wanted and make a smaller version
and
of that.
Splice and dice, yeah.
Yeah, but motive, like, is it just attention seeking? Is it, I guess that's the only real motive I can think of, is you just want attention for it. You want media coverage. You're not going to get rich off of something like that. I don't know. I guess just to do it, to see if you could do it, to fool people. Are there people who get off on just fooling people?
I think so. Because remember the kid? There was that story, that news story of the kid who like got lost in a floating balloon or something. And the family was freaking out and they got all this attention. But it turns out the kid was never really in the balloon.
Oh. Because that's happened to an adult man before.
Would have. I just think, yeah, I think some people are weird and want attention.
They must be a part of like histrionic behavior or Munchausen type behavior.
Maybe. But assuming that some of these scans and tissue samples and DNA things are real, the only thing I can think of is somebody took actual mummies from 1,500 years ago
right.
with surgical precision, mutilated the fingers and toes.
Right. And everything else.
But
the mummy thing with all of the organs intact, that's weird because in mummification, you don't usually do that.
Right. And they don't have, they claim that they don't have evidence of like things being spliced and sewn together.
You would have, yeah, you would know if something had been cut off.
Yeah.
Our bones show that.
So, either that's what happened to hoax it, or none of it's real, right? Like, all of the scans and things that they've done is made up. But even that is, like, very creative. How do you get all these other, like, institutions and things to give you DNA results and tissue sample results, things like that?
Because they're not going to waste their time. You can't just send random stuff and go, hey, guys, can you analyze this?
Yeah.
Like, you have to have a lot more before they'll do that.
I know.
They don't have time for our willy-nilly, can you test this DNA? No. What else? What's behind this? Why would you want to do that? I feel like you'd have to present some sort of evidence.
So if it's a hoaxer, if it's a hoaxer, it's a master hoaxer in some way.
But then if they're that good, why aren't they working in Hollywood and where are they now?
I don't know.
They ain't that good.
Maybe they make a lot of money down there at that private institute. Just hoaxing things.
There's a big market for hoaxing in Peru. I don't know. That's crazy. I remember when it came out. Wasn't it around COVID time?
Yeah, because, well, it first started having like press circuits and things in 2017. But when was COVID? Like 2020? Mm-hmm. So maybe it took a while to come across your
screen. And we also had a lot of extra time on our hands to look at weird, stuff.
Oh, and I was going to mention, so there's also mummies that are out there that are, they're not curled up. They're straight. And that is a proven hoax. So some people made these like recreations of the mummies that were found that were in the fetal position. And the recreated mummies are very similar, but they're stretched out straight, like standing tall.
Mm-hmm.
And those ones, unfortunately, are a lot of the ones that were taken around on like the press circuit.
Oh, no.
Because they were used as an example of what was actually found, the mummies that were actually found.
Oh.
And then they were not real. And people were like, well, why are you bringing these? These are clearly not real. I think they were being used to show what they had found without actually having to take the actual fragile mummies on the press tour.
Well, that's a shoddy job because we can make casts of things, we can make replications of things and have them be pretty darn close to accurate, if not a dead ringer for those things. So that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's like some of the choices that they made are not what a real scientist would choose to do.
No, it was very circus. Sounds like circus snake oil type people. Just trying to make a buck.
Maybe. But there's people who claim that they've seen the mummies, been there
for the scans. I think there's a strong part of me that believes in these tiny, like, scrunched up mummies and what they found. But the ones who replicated the elongated ones, that was lazy work.
I think that was a mistake, because that just led to all the speculation.
And then that makes it harder for the legitimate stuff, if there is legitimate stuff, to be treated with respect.
Yeah.
Or any kind of scientific merit. Interesting.
I know. I can show you a picture of those straight ones if you want.
Yeah.
And it comes up because when you try to research the three-toed alien mummy, you'll see, and you go to like the image search on Google, you'll see the ones that are stretched out. These are the fake ones. And then the ones that are in the fetal position, and those are the supposed
real ones. Oh, interesting. Okay.
So they recreated what they found in the mummy. Yeah. The straight ones are not the real ones.
That is interesting. Yeah, I'm looking at the photos that Amanda has texted me.
There are people who would do crazy taxidermy stuff with like mummified animals and different animals and splice them together. Remember that like Ye Olde Curiosity Shop in Seattle?
Oh, yeah.
And there was the mermaid man in there.
And Jake the Snake Man or whatever. Jake the Lizard Man or something like that.
No, it was somebody who actually took skeletons of different creatures and sewed them together.
And then we have a few mummies in those museums too, in the Seattle Waterfront Museum. Like, do you remember seeing those mummies? Like, actual, here, let me pull
them up. I think so.
Seattle. It's like the old curiosity shop.
Yeah.
Ye old curiosity shop.
This cat has slept on me for the whole recording. Time. I'm the luckiest person in the world.
She's such a cute kitty. She's a good baby.
Let me get a picture of it for my kiddos. Did you like that one?
I did. That was fun. So we have to say our closing here, then we can wrap it up.
Class dismissed.
And don't open the door.